of God's Word today, we will turn to Revelation chapter 1, verses 1, 2, 3. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who testifies to everything he saw, that is, the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Blessed is the one who reads the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. And then chapter 2, verse 7. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. So God is the God of revelation. God is the God of revelation. God is the God of revelation. He reveals himself in his time and in his ways. And he blesses those who obey according to the words that have been revealed. So our faith is believing in the revelation of God. And we say our faith has been given by the revelation of God, and we call it the faith by revelation, the faith by the word. So not only Christians, but many people have some sort of faith, but we don't call that the faith by revelation or the faith by the word, but rather we call it a religion, because religion is man-made or from nature. It originates from man. So it is an act of acting towards a God, and it is man's effort to know and serve a God. And that is what religion is. However, our faith came from heaven and has been revealed through God. And for those who have received this faith of revelation, receive the revealed word, there's nothing else they can do except obey. So now this is the life of faith. So it says, whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So today we are speaking of the church, which the Spirit speaks to. So while we have spent this month of loving the church, this is the last sermon about the church for this year. So let's say ear. When we say ear, we don't really put a lot of significance to our ears. For when we look at them, they don't move and they don't seem like much help. But however, if there are problems with it, then we know that they are very important. So we have the ear, and the main parts of the ear are the outer ear, the eardrum, the middle ear, and the inner ear. So there is the ear canal, and inside there's an inner ear. So when the sound waves, they enter. So the reason why the ear is shaped like it is, with the creases and different folds, is to collect sound and direct it inside the ear. So from the outer ear, sound waves travel through the ear canal, leading to the eardrums and finally to the inner ear. So it goes through a very intricate process so that we can finally hear the sound. And Deacon Bob, he is a doctor who specializes in ears. And for me, in the past, I've had many illnesses, but never experienced problems with my ears. So I never really put much importance on the ears. But when I was preparing for the sermon and did some research on it, it is so complicated. When we look at just the ear, there's no way the ear could have developed except through the Creator. So people say our ears have evolved through adaptation, through the environment, But how could our ears that has had the same functions and abilities throughout thousands of years, how can it be just so detailed, so intricate? And it's just amazing. The ear, it hears. And if one cannot hear, it drives a person mad. When they can't hear sounds and cannot hear other people speak, it drives them mad, and therefore they start to isolate themselves. And they say such people, they fall into despair, and it's very hard to function normally in society. And in the Bible, Jesus opened the ears of a deaf person by saying Ephatha. And how joyful must that person have been for being able to finally hear. And in the Bible, it says, whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. It's not speaking about the physical ears of the flesh. But what this verse means is that listening to the word of God is not through the physical ears of the flesh. Even if there are issues with physical ears, but if our spirit hears, if the spirit has ears, then through our spiritual ears, we can hear the word. Hallelujah. So all mankind, we have different emotions, feelings, but we have an inner person that's the spiritual being. And when we hear the word of God, it's the ears of the Spirit that hears. Our spiritual ears hear the word of God. The words of Jesus Christ is spirit, and they aren't just delivered through sound, but spiritually. So if our spiritual ears are open, then no matter the circumstance, then we can hear it. And I hope you hear what the Spirit says to the church. Amen. So the Bible tells us why this is of such great importance. Adam was in the Garden of Eden, and God commanded that he could eat from any tree in the garden except from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So God, he spoke, he commanded Adam, the living being. He commanded Adam, the living being, not the physical body, but the spiritual being that had the soul, the spirit. So when God commanded, his physical ears heard the sound, and his spiritual ears also heard, and he received the command. However, the devil was there in the garden, and in the form of the serpent, he deceived Eve, saying, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? Then he said, you will not certainly die. And not only that, but God knows when you eat, you will be like God. So the devil lied. God, he clearly said that you will surely die, but the devil lied. He is the liar and the father of lies. So Eve heard it and ate from the tree and gave it to her husband, and they sinned. And as a result, they were driven out of the Garden of Eden. And God placed the cherubim and a flaming sword around the garden to guard the way back into the garden. And since then, after Adam, all mankind were no longer able to hear the word of God. Though they hear it, they cannot understand it as the words of God. And John chapter 8 says that they cannot hear the word of God nor understand it. And mankind, if they hear the sound, the sound of people, they hear these lies and think that, and it is the truth, and take in lies very sweetly. So all mankind hears lies, thinking it is the truth, as our ears receive what we hear. And it's not only the devil, but all mankind speaks lies as our own. So mankind speaks lies as our own. So now, these days, when we look at social media, the mainstream, whatever they say, they speak so much lies. And they speak so well. During my time, there weren't so many people moved when one spoke. But these days, when one speaks, they speak like scholars. And so the people are moved and touched by what they say. But all those words, if it is not the words of God, if it's not based on the words of God, then they are all lies. Whether it's Buddha's or others, it is all lies. And the children repeat these lies. So the Bible says they speak lies like it's their own. So after Adam, all mankind, after they were banished from the garden, they hear and speak lies as if it's the truth. And one day they will eventually fall. They will end up in hell. So God plans to reveal his revelation, God's revelation, the revelation of God. He planned to reveal himself through the word. The word. So our faith is the faith of the word. In Christianity, if there's no word, then it's not the faith by revelation. If we don't have interest in the word, then it's just a religion. So the word. Because revelation means logos. It says, in the beginning was the word was God. So God cannot reveal himself fully to the world, for he is greater than the highest heavens. And so he cannot reveal himself to us. So how, but in which way could he reveal himself then? It is by the word, the self-manifestation of God. So between God and man, there's nothing but the word. So when he speaks, we who have ears respond, and thus this relationship is made. So we obey and we receive the word. And the first way God revealed himself was through creation. Creation. He created all things. And how did he create creation? He commanded by his words. He said, let there be. Say amen if you believe this. In Hebrews 11:3, it says, by faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command. That the universe was formed at God's command. Say amen if you believe. So there are many churches and Christians who do not believe in this. So even amongst Christians, there are those who don't believe. So this, with this very first requirement of faith, we see that their faith isn't true, for they must believe that all things were created by God. God revealed himself through the creation. He said this creation formed by his command. He revealed himself through creation. He said, let there be, and this is how everything came to be. Amen. And the second way he revealed himself was through covenant and prophecy. So going a step further, God revealed himself through his word, through covenants, and through prophecies. So first, God gave Noah a covenant and also prophecy. God revealed that he is going to judge the world through the flood, and that all things that breathe through his nostrils will be wiped out. This was a prophecy given to him. But he commanded Noah to build the ark, and he would save his family. So Noah believed both in the prophecy and covenant, and so he built the ark, thereby saving his family, as described in Hebrews chapter 11, 7. And another man is Abraham, who received the calling from God. And when God said he will set him as a source of blessing. Abraham received this covenant. He received a calling from God. He left his father's homeland. And though he did not know where he was headed, but because he received this calling and believed in the covenant of God, he went. And when God commanded him to give his son as a sacrifice, he was being tested. So how Abraham could have obeyed this command, how was he able to do so? It's written in Hebrews chapter 11, 17, which says, by faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. So whether it was to sacrifice his son, burn him up, or any other method, he believed in the promise that God will spread his seed through his son. And so Abraham believed in this covenant. So by faith, Abraham was about to sacrifice his one and only son and believed God and the covenant that he received. He believed that God would raise the dead and knew who the one speaking to him was, and that he was surely going to keep his promise. And God also revealed himself through the Exodus of Israel. After Joseph and then the Israelites entered Egypt, they eventually lived as slaves for 430 years. When Abraham first received the promise in Genesis chapter 15 that his descendants would be slaves in the land of Egypt, in Genesis it says that 430 years of slavery after, they would be freed. So the covenant that God promised Abraham didn't change, but was fulfilled, and it was fulfilled through the Exodus of Israel. So God fulfilled what he promised Abraham, and to Israel, God made the Israelites remember and believe in this. So the Israelites believed in God as the one who speaks, the one who keeps what he promises. And so the Israelites experienced this covenant and kept this covenant. And in order to test their faith, God gave the Israelites the law. In other words, it's the words of covenant. Exodus 34:27 mentions the words of covenant given to Moses. So it is the word of covenant, the word of the law. So they consist of commands. So besides the Ten Commandments, there are 613 points to the law. The reason why God gave so many laws is if they kept these laws, then he would keep the covenant he made with them, that their descendants will enter the land of Canaan and they'll receive this inheritance for generations on. And by keeping the law and obeying it, God allowed them to have victory in wars, and this is what they experienced. So God used another function called prophecy. And I said that God is the one who speaks. First, he revealed himself through creation, then through covenant and prophecy. So to Abraham and to Israel, God made covenants, and he also gave prophecies through the prophets. And there are so many prophecies and so many prophets. Whatever God spoke to the prophets, every prophecy God spoke will be fulfilled. Some in a few days, others in a few months, others in hundreds of years. They say there are thousands of prophecies, 32,500 of them, and almost all have been fulfilled. There is one left, which is the appearance, the second coming of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. So when Jesus appeared before the temple, what did he say? He said, "Destroy this temple and I will raise it again in 3 days." So Jesus was promising, because he said, if you destroy it, I will raise it again. But who was Jesus Christ that he could say this of the temple of God that took 46 years to build? So this temple they had rebuilt, how could he say to destroy it and that he would rebuild it after 3 days? So they could not understand, and they thought this was a lie and unbelievable. And not only didn't they believe this, it really angered them. But Jesus said, destroy this temple and I will raise it again in 3 days. But the temple he had spoken of was his body, the temple of his body. It wasn't a temple built by hands over many years, and it was not the temple of Jerusalem, but he was speaking of his body. So if you put to death my body, I will raise it again. So this was what he was speaking of, referring to his death and resurrection. And when he is raised again, what would happen is all the laws and the prophecies through the prophets would be fulfilled. So all the laws and the prophecies would be fulfilled. Jesus said, destroy this temple, the temple which had a significant history. It had the commandments and laws, the history of Israel. And the Israelites, it was all contained in the temple. So it was very significant. And the reason why the Israelites kept the temple at their center and could not leave is because that is where God made the covenant and everything fulfilled according to prophecy. So they keep it and live according to the word as they believe that God will fulfill the promise. They live in the promised land of Canaan. But when Jesus said, destroy this temple and I will raise it again in 3 days, he meant that he would fulfill the promise and the covenant that Jehovah God had made to the Israelites, that he'd fulfill it through the death of his body and his resurrection. So how does God reveal himself? He reveals himself through the word. And in the past, he revealed himself as the creator. By his word, he created, and through the covenant and also prophecies to people like Abraham, Moses, he revealed himself. And after Jesus appeared and died and resurrected. So the way Jesus expressed the Old Testament is covenant and prophecy. Covenant and prophecy. The covenant of the law and the prophecies of the prophets. The one who fulfills all of them, the law and prophecies, it's through his death and resurrection. So let us look at John chapter 8, verse 24. So verse 24 says, I told you that you would die in your sins. If you do not believe that I am the one I claim to be, you will indeed die in your sins. So they did not understand what he was saying. And then verse 25, it says, who are you? They asked. Just what I have been claiming all along, Jesus replied. I have much to say in judgment of you, but he who sent me is reliable, and what I have heard from him I tell the world. So they heard this. Jesus said, if you don't hear what I'm saying, do not believe that I am he, you will indeed die in your sins. So they asked, who are you? So he said, just what I have been telling you from the beginning. Just what I have been telling you from the beginning. So in the minds of these people, when Jesus said, just what I have been telling you from the beginning, God had been speaking to Abraham and to Moses from the beginning. But Jesus is saying that I have been telling you from the beginning. So the Israelites asked, are you greater than our father Abraham? You spoke before him. Then Jesus replied, before Abraham was born, I am. Before Abraham was, I am. So Jesus is saying, I have spoken before Abraham and Moses and even before your ancestor Adam. He's the one who spoke from before creation, who spoke from the beginning, Yeshua. So Jesus Christ spoke, and who is he? John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. So whenever I speak of this verse, I am just so grateful, because how can I believe this word 100%? That in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. So in the beginning, in eternity, before all creation, before this earth, this universe, before the heavens were made, God was. Do you believe? Where was God? Before the spiritual heaven was created, where was God? Did he create the spiritual heaven and enter it later? He existed before this universe. He existed before the spiritual heaven, before any space, he existed. But it says, in the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was the Word. And what did I say the Word is? It is the self-manifestation of God. The self-manifestation of God. The plan to reveal himself was from the beginning. In the beginning. So in the beginning, God had a plan to reveal himself. So what are we referring to when we say the beginning? Was it when God created creation? So in Logos, we learned that the very first thing God created was the spiritual heaven. The spiritual heaven was created first. And after the spiritual heaven, God created the angels and the earth, the universe, the earth, everything else that follows, and then mankind. But he was the one in the beginning, from before creation. So in the beginning, he was the Word. And in the beginning, he spoke. In the beginning, he was the Word. And in the beginning, he was the Word who spoke. So creation was made through him, and nothing else was made that has been made except through him. So the one who was God, he created all things by the Word. Amen. So the Word, he created the spiritual heaven first and then the universe. He is the one who was speaking since the beginning. So Jesus is the one who was the Word in the beginning. Jesus was the Word in the beginning and has been speaking since the beginning. And Jesus Christ, he is the one who was the Word and has been speaking since the beginning and came to this world. So the Word, it is a self-manifestation of God. So in the beginning, he was the Word, and he had a plan to reveal himself and existed as the Word, and was also commanded by the Word and created the spiritual heaven and all creation. Amen. So Jesus said, I have been telling you from the beginning that he existed as the Word from before creation in the beginning and came as the one who speaks. So do you believe this? So God and the Word and Jesus, we cannot separate or divide them even if we tried. So now we have to understand this. When he commanded things to be, they came to be. And to those who hear, what do they do? They must obey. So in the Bible, where it says you are gods, small gods, we have to understand. We cannot misunderstand that, but we have to understand that when he commands, we obey, and so we can have this divine authority. So Jesus has been speaking since the beginning. But when the Israelites think of God speaking, what comes to mind is the prophets who spoke through prophecies. So, and in order to make them understand, God spoke through the prophets, and in Matthew chapter 11, so Matthew chapter 11, verse 10. This is the one about whom it is written, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way before you. Truly I tell you, among those born of women there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet whoever is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been subjected to violence, and violent people have been raiding it. For all the prophets in the law prophesied until John. And then verse 16, to what can I compare this generation? They are like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling out to others. We played the pipe for you and you did not dance. We sang a dirge and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, here is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. But wisdom is proved right by her deeds. So the reason Jesus spoke of John the Baptist was because the Israelites believed God is who? God is the one who speaks. And when he speaks, he calls his nation, he calls his people to him and speaks to them through covenant and prophecies. So others do not know of the covenant and prophecies of God, but specifically to the Israelites, starting from their ancestor Abraham, Moses, and on, God gave words to them. And when God commands, he gave covenants and has given prophecies. And so they regarded the prophets very highly and respected and revered them. But Jesus is saying, now who do you say John the Baptist is? So Jesus said, then what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. They should have listened to what the prophet was saying, but they did not. And what did John the Baptist say? The one who comes after me is greater than me. They should have believed in his words, but they did not, because their ears were closed off, so they did not hear. And John the Baptist said, the one who comes after me is greater than me, but they did not believe. So regarding the prophets, the reason he said there's none born of woman greater than John is that the duty of speaking God's word is a great duty. And John was the one who heard the word of God and given the prophecy of God. But the reason he was greater than any born of woman is because he is the one who prepared the way for the Lord. So amongst the Israelites are different hierarchies and ranks. There's the priests, there's the prophets, and they're much greater than the regular citizens, as they heard the word of God directly and spoke the word of God. So they were highly regarded. But John the Baptist was the one they really needed to listen to, as he prepared the way for Jesus. God, he came as man. The word came as man. Even though Jesus is the Son of God and was born through a woman, he is God. And when John was introducing Jesus, who came after him, John spoke of things that convicted Herod. And he was killed. And how was he killed? He was beheaded. Thus, the time of prophets has now ended. So roosters, they cry from the daylight of dawn, but cut their heads and they are silent. And like that, John the Baptist was beheaded and did signify the end of the prophets. Now came Jesus Christ. So with the coming of Jesus Christ, the era of the prophets ended. So this wicked generation, though the prophet came, they were not moved at all. Though the Israelites were used to listening to the covenants and prophecies of God, because they were deceived by the word of the false prophets and their ears were shut, though they heard of the Lord's coming, they did not believe it. And if they were baptized by John the Baptist, receiving the word would have been so much easier, but they rejected even John the Baptist and what he said, and eventually Jesus was misunderstood and he was killed. But this was all according to the plan of God. So to this generation whose ears were completely closed, Jesus still looked for people he could reveal himself to. And amongst them was the Samaritan woman. In John chapter 4, it describes that he met the Samaritan woman, and she said, "Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." And with her question, Jesus saw that she really had interest in worship and in God and in the Spirit. So, and she said, "I know that Messiah called Christ is coming, and when he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I, the one speaking to you, I am he." Though Jesus was right before her, this woman had this yearning for Jesus and God and in worship and in spiritual things. And even to this day as well, those who make an effort towards God and have interest in spiritual things, God will reveal himself to them. But if you're not interested in just passing time, your ears are closed off. Now this is important. So this woman was just so precious to Jesus, as she really had this yearning heart for God, the spiritual world, and she yearned to worship God. And when Jesus said, "I am he," she left her water jar and went back to the town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah?" And they all came out of the town and believed in Jesus. In Matthew chapter 11, Jesus said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children." So to little children, it's not referring to children young in knowledge, but that your heart has to be innocent like a child. To those who have this innocent heart, rather than those who have heard and are filled with so many lies, they cannot hear. But if you have this heart, this desire to know God and have the heart of a child, then it says in verse 27, "All things have been committed to be by my Father." So when the Son chooses, one has to become those that the Son reveals himself to. So if you think to yourself you're not sure, it's because you don't have the heart like a little child. You have to have this innocent heart like a child. You have to want to know God and want to know the truth and want to meet him. And if you have such heart, then Jesus will not leave you alone, and he will allow you to meet with him. Amen. In John chapter 5:25, it says, "Very truly I tell you, a time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live." And has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. So their flesh is already dead, but they will hear the voice of the Son of God, it says here. And so Lazarus was already dead, but when Jesus said, "Lazarus, come out," he rose and came out. With what kind of ear did Lazarus hear and come out? The ears of the Spirit. So the flesh was already rotting, So his fleshly ears were rotting as well. So it was with the ears of his spirit that he heard. So after Adam, all mankind is dead. We're only left to be burnt up one day. So do you acknowledge that your flesh was living but your spirit was dead? That all spirits were dead. So what's left is for the spirit to be burned up in hell. The fate was to be burnt up in the garbage incinerator. But even those that are dead, a time is coming when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God and they will live. That a time is coming. So the disciples of Jesus, they heard his words for 3 years. But was it by flesh or spirit? Was it the ears of their flesh or spirit? So it says, a time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God and those who hear will live. So now is not the time. Though the disciples heard his words, it wasn't time yet, since if Judas really understood, he wouldn't have betrayed him. So Jesus had to die, and that is why he came. And that is why Judas sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. And when he died, he said, "It is finished." And what did he finish? He finished all the laws and the prophets. In Luke 24:44, it says, "All things were fulfilled by the law and prophets." That went according to prophecy. He died according to the command of the Father, and through his death, he condemned the liar, the devil. He judged the liar, the devil. So Jesus condemned the devil, that you are the liar, because in Genesis chapter 2, God told Adam, "If you eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will surely die." But the devil told him a lie, and they listened to the lie and ate the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And though his physical body did not die, his spirit died. So Jesus came to die. So the prophecy that he would die if he ate the fruit, the last Adam came and fulfilled. And this proved that the devil was a liar, and therefore he was condemned. Also, with his death, he redeemed all mankind, and through his shed blood, Jesus sprinkled his blood to the souls, and those who received his blood, their spirit came to life, and their function comes to life. And what function? The function to hear. And to hear what? To hear the word of God. So we have to have the ears to hear the word of God. In order to give us this ear that can hear, the Word who was in the beginning came to die and shed his blood on the cross. He brought back to life our spirits, and he brought back to life the function of our ears to hear the word of God. And he resurrected, he ascended to heaven and sent the Holy Spirit to the church. And to those who believe, in that gathering where souls that are purchased by the blood of Jesus, the Holy Spirit speaks. We read in Revelation that whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Now, to speak to us, God has called and gathered us in the church. That is true. But in other words, outside of the church, we cannot hear the word of God. Besides the church, there is no place or organization or opportunity to hear the words of God. Except the church, there is no organization or place we can hear the word of God and what the Holy Spirit says to the church. To those who leave the church and follow another religion, they do not have the chance to hear the word of God. So the Holy Spirit comes to the church where believers are gathered. In Revelation chapter 1, it says the revelation from Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who testifies to everything he saw. So it's the revelation of Jesus Christ that he sent his angel to his servant John to testify everything he received. And verse 11, whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The one who is victorious will not be hurt at all by the second death. And then verse 3, blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. So if you are in the church and hear the words of the Holy Spirit, say amen. If you believe you hear the words of the Holy Spirit speaking to the church, then say amen. So you may say the pastor is speaking. Yes, that's true. But it's the Holy Spirit that is speaking to the church. It's what the Holy Spirit says. In Matthew chapter 10, Jesus said, when you preach, there will be those who persecute you. But don't be afraid, for the one who speaks through you is the Spirit and the Father. That the one who speaks through you is a Spirit and the Father, the Spirit of your Father. Even the one who speaks right now, it is the Holy Spirit. It's what the Holy Spirit says to the church. Do you believe? So there is no one dozing off here. But why are you thinking about something else? It's the direct revelation of Jesus Christ. So in the Old Testament, God spoke through the prophets. And during the time of Jesus, while he was alive, the disciples of Jesus and those who followed after him heard the word speaking, the word. But were their spirits alive or dead? Their spirits were dead. Though they heard the direct words of Jesus, their spirits were dead. So those words were not received into the Spirit. But when the Holy Spirit speaks in the church, your spirit that has come to life now hears. Amen. And if that is true, then I'm the one who received the words of Jesus more than John the Baptist, more than the disciples. So though I'm heard through the mic and speakers, but your spirit is hearing the words of the Holy Spirit. It's your spirit that hears these words. So the spirit inside of me hears the words spoken by the Holy Spirit. So we have to pay more attention to understand and hear. Isn't that right? Say amen if you truly understand this. Paul said, but even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let them be under God's curse. So Paul said, am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. So Paul said the words he speaks are that of the Holy Spirit spoken through him. And so the words he speaks aren't his words, but the words he speaks are of that of the Holy Spirit. So if you want to be a witness of Jesus Christ, of the Holy Spirit, you have to surely receive the Holy Spirit. Some say the Holy Spirit is love and peace, and some only speak of these attributes only. But the Holy Spirit is in us and is in the speaker and was with the Father and the Son and with Jesus. And from that day until today, he has been speaking from that moment until now. So today he is speaking through the servant. And if your soul is alive, then how can you not understand? How can you not understand? Shouldn't we beat ourselves for not being able to understand? So if we say we understood his words,
then it is to know that it is Jesus Christ speaking directly to us. And so we ought to change. So say amen if you believe that you've received the spirit of revelation. And that our Church of Jesus is a church that the Holy Spirit of truth speaks to. If your spirit has come alive by the blood of Jesus and the ears of your spirit open, say amen, then there is no excuse for us, and we cannot wait for another era or time, for the end of time draws near. Now there is only one more prophecy left, and it's the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. All the prophets and laws have been fulfilled, and the words of Jesus fulfilled. And now the Holy Spirit speaks to us, and the only thing left is His return, the return of Jesus. So if you hear the words today, don't think, oh, she's speaking about this again. But take it as a warning, as the day approaches, and we don't have much time left. He is sounding the trumpets to warn us. This is time for us to awaken. Amen, hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1, it says, we must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. So Hebrews chapter 2, 1, we must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. So he's telling us to not drift away and to not let it go in one ear and out the other. So if you have heard, then pay careful attention so we do not drift away. For since the message spoken through the angels was binding, and every violation and disobedience received is just punishment. So the word spoken through angels was binding, and every violation and disobedience received its just punishment. Word spoken through the angels was the law. And further, how shall we escape if we ignore so great a salvation? This salvation, which was first announced by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard him. God also testified to it by signs, wonders, and various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. So we have received the gospel and the salvation, but if we take this gospel lightly, then how can we escape it, ignore so great a salvation? The Bible recorded all the prophecies and works that Jesus fulfilled, and it also says this is a word of warning, of revelation. So now Jesus will come to judge the living and the dead, and this is the warning of revelation given to us. In Revelation, he spoke to the seven churches. So all these seven churches had similarities, though the content was all different. Whether it was their acts or effort they were giving, or the persecutions were different. But what was the same is that to each one, it says to the churches, whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches, that the time has come near. And there were things God was rebuking them for, to repent, or else there would be great trouble. And this is what the Spirit says to the churches. So when he rebukes, you need to repent. And this is what the Holy Spirit still speaks to the churches today. So when rebuked, you need to repent and have the resolve to obey. Amen. So the one who is victorious to the end will enter the new heaven and earth and paradise and have their names in the book of life. And he's not promising anything in this world, but only for when we go to heaven. So if there is a church that speaks of material, cultural, and worldly things, this is not a true church. A true church is where the Holy Spirit speaks. Do you truly believe the Church of Jesus is speaking what the Holy Spirit is saying to the church? Are you sure? Has your soul come alive by the blood of Jesus? If you have the ear to hear, then you need to hear his rebuke, and you have to repent. The day is approaching. We have to be awake and pray because we do not know when he will come back. There are no more prophecies that are needed. The Bible says do not speak of when he will come, but the exact time or hour. He will come, and whenever that may be, as we have heard the words that the Holy Spirit says to the church, since our soul has heard, we now have to discipline our flesh and obey his words, even if we might die. Hallelujah. Please help me to hear and understand the word. Do you truly think that way? Do you believe that your spirit truly hears the words that the Holy Spirit says? Raise your hand. So listening and understanding is different. Your spirit has heard. Now you have to understand and perceive. So it's like when you put a positive and negative charge together, there's a spark. So like that, when God's word enters you, there needs to be a spark, and your spirit needs to hear the word, and you need to move according to the word. So the word that was spoken from before creation, in eternity, in the beginning, may that word be fulfilled in you. Lord, you are speaking to me. I will obey. There is nothing else besides that. So what is Christianity? It's the Father speaking and us obeying. So that on the day our Lord Jesus Christ returns, let us be those who move into his kingdom, the promised land. Hallelujah.